This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. For the property market, 2019 was clearly a challenging year. This new decade, is there a reason to be optimistic? So today we have in the studio property developer Tropicana Corporation Berhad to tell us if the worst is over, how they are faring, and if you would like to buy a property, would it be theirs? And to tell us all this and maybe more is their group CEO, Alex Yao. So welcome to the studio. Now let's start with an overall look at Tropicana Corporation. So three main divisions, property development, investments, resorts, and finally investment holdings. But of course, it's still a company very related to property sales. So tell me, how is the company doing? Because 2019, at least the 9-month profit after tax, was below last year's, only at 95 million.
2019 has not been an easy year for most developers. So also for us, it was a year that meant to be other activities, as in we had done a big corporate exercise, merging the private and public asset. And beside that, of course, we have all the ongoing activity to prepare ourselves for a better 2020.
So there were fewer launches in 2019 compared to 2020? Because I see even just on a top-line revenue basis, it was 755 million for 9 months versus 1 billion for the same period last year, right? So I assume that's due to fewer sales?
Yeah. What happened was, you know, as in any property project, the gestation period was a bit longer. So the fewer launches happened actually in 2018. We took 2018 to clear up most of our unsold stock. And then for 2019, we actually re-ramping our launches. So we had a lot more launches in 2019, but you will see the impact mostly in the fourth Q of 2019 and the entire 2020.
So what was the gross development value of the property that was launched in 2019? And maybe give us some idea of what the key projects were.
In 2019, we launched around 2 billion in GDV, right? And then there will be some spillover into the first quarter of 2020, another about 1.2 billion, right? The main project that we launched in 2019 was the final phase of our garden project in Kota Damansara, and plus quite a number of landed projects in Tropicana Aman at near to Kota Kemuning.
But this GDV, gross development value of the property that was launched, you said 2 billion. That's slightly below your target, right, of 2.5 billion, which was stated in your third quarter financial report. Is there a reason for that? Is it because the market's really soft or?
No. We aim to launch around 2.5 billion and we had a little bit of spillover. So the missing part of the about half a billion will actually be launched in the first Q, in fact, as early as January and February this year.
And I'm curious, right, Alex, what sells? What do buyers really want? And I mean, is it really affordable housing? Because when I see your property, your key ongoing projects, right, they don't really fit into the affordable housing kind of bracket, do they?
Yeah, they don't. Most of them do not fit into the affordable housing category, right? For Tropicana, we are more on the medium and upper market segment. Example is like the garden, the final phase. It's a leasehold property in Kota Damansara, and we are selling at about 1,300 ringgit per square feet.
Okay,
and which is about double the whatever you can find in the same vicinity. Yeah.
So why would somebody pay double? I'm curious.
Well, it's a combination of many factors. The brand, the product, the trust, the loyalty of the customer. And it's, I mean, bottom line is we sell them well. And the fourth block that we had now is about 90% sold. The first three blocks were literally 100% sold. So we're launching the final block now.
Did you have to offer any rebates or any freebies thrown in to sell any of your projects, not only just the gardens one? Because it is a bit of a buyer's market, right? There's a lot of unsold inventory stock out there in the Klang Valley. And some of your competitors do give rebates up to 10, 15% and give like things like free kitchen, free built-in wardrobe. Do you still need to do that to attract buyers?
I think that's pretty standard for a developer in today's market. So generally, we do give some rebate, and that's not really meant to lower the price. If we want to lower the price, we would have lowered the price right from the beginning, right? The rebate is meant mainly to facilitate some financing arrangement. For example, if the buyer want to pay less than 10%, say they want to pay 5%, then if we give a 5% rebate, generally the banker can accept that, and hence the buyer would enjoy a lower upfront payment.
And like you said, you know, your take-up rate is very attractive. So I'm trying to understand, it's a buyer's market out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like we just said a minute ago. So what do you offer? What does Tropicana offer, which is different from the other bigger developers in town? So the likes of Simon Darby Property, EcoWorld or SP City, why would they come and buy a house or a condominium from y'all? What is your unique selling point?
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, it's a combination of many factors. There's no single factor that drive a buyer to buy. Okay. So generally, it's the brand positioning, the basically the investment return that our previous buyer has enjoyed, and also the support and the trust in the quality.
Okay, when we come back to the quality issue, how do you overcome some perception over quality of the finished product? Because there was this video of the man who claimed to be a representative of an unhappy owner, which the video went viral. I think a lot of people saw it, right? And you saw, I mean, I saw him smashing up floors, furniture, doors, and then complaining about the quality of his of this multi-million dollar property. So there is this public perception about Tropicana's quality, rightly or wrongly. How do you overcome this, though?
Well, that fiasco, the video, it gave us the actually the publicity. It helps us in the publicity, right or wrong. Okay, so we actually came up with a statement to clarify the situation. And then, of course, this is that gentleman, his prerogative to express his opinion.
Well, clearly on his unhappiness at the at the rate he was smashing things.
Yeah. The fact was that he was actually not the owner of the building.
Yeah, he's a representative, right, apparently.
The building was bought by his sister, given to him to stay, and his sister actually came over to take vacant possessions. During the vacant possession, she locked in only one defect, four pieces of marble tiles that she think need to be improved. That's all, one single defect officially in our system.
So are you then suing him for defamation? Is there any legal action against this individual? Because and it is somewhat defamatory.
I mean, as a large corporation, we try not to put too much pressure on a single individual, and because that will not argue well in the eyes of the public. What we did was, of course, as a formality, our lawyer sent him a letter and reserved our right to take further action if he continue to do the same, right? Then he replied and then we stopped at that.
And then I want to go back to, you know, you said about your take-up rates for Tropicana projects being very good. So what has it been, above 70, 80% for the four key projects that you mentioned earlier?
Well, like for example, like Garden, right? We have launched so far four blocks. The first three blocks were
sold
either
out.
100% or 99% sold out. And the last block was now has 90% over. And it's already priced at, like I said, 1,300. So now we are launching the final phase, which is quite a big project. The GDV is about 900 million. And we have about 1,000 units there.
What about other projects like Paisley Residence, which is in Tropicana Metro Park, or Tropicana Heights in Kajang? Are they all doing so equally well?
Yeah.
Above 90%?
It's we're clearing Paisley. We are left with about 100 plus unit, and we are now actually launching a new phase in Metro Tropicana Metro Park. Yeah.
So I would say then, is unsold inventory something that Tropicana has to worry about? What is the value of it currently? Because if I look at the annual report, it says there 1.43 billion in inventory, but I'm sure not all is unsold inventory, right?
You're absolutely right. So we took 2017, 2018 as the year to actually slow down our launches and focus. We foresee that market's going to be tough, right, at that time. So we took the opportunity, slow down a bit on the launches, and we cleared a lot of the unsold completed inventory. Now it's standing at around 200 over million, which is relatively small given our size, and also relatively small or very small compared to a lot of other developer inventory.
But it is creeping up because it was 30 million in 2017 and then 127 million for completed unsold inventory in 2018, and now it's 200 million.
Yeah.
The reason I ask this is because there's always this risk of impairment, right? So after all, the auditors won't allow for unsold property to sit on your books forever. It's prudent to provide.
Yeah.
So at what point will you then start writing it off?
No, I don't think there's any pressure at all for us. Our auditor has been comfortable because our unsold inventory generally is kept at the book cost. Right? It's not at the selling price. The number I mentioned is basically based on the selling price, and that's a good margin in between there.
Okay, and do you think the worst is over for the property market? And you know, at what point of the cycle are we at? Do you expect 2020 to be a much better year for property sales in general and also, of course, for Tropicana?
I don't think the worst is over yet, my personal opinion. I think it has been long enough, about 5 years. The property market has actually slowed down since, especially since the government or Bank Negara has basically taken up a tighter control on end financing since the removal of the IBS, etc. So I think that is going to be the same situation unless there is a major change. The rest of the factor, I think, is market-driven, but the one major factor is the position taken by Bank Negara. When is Bank Negara planning to ease a bit on the control on the
the prudent lending guidelines.
Yeah,
but the problem is the household debt in Malaysia still remains stubbornly high at above 80%, right? So
exactly, the
central bank might not do anything for a while. So does that mean for developers it's still going to be a bit tough the next 2-3 years? Let's say, unsold inventory
exactly.
is sold?
Exactly, that's what I meant. I don't think the market is going to just turn around by itself unless there's a policy change.
I've been speaking to Alex Yao, Group CEO for Tropicana Corporation Berhad. Up next, how are the investment properties doing for this listed company, and should it be land banking now? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alex Yao, Group CEO for Tropicana Corporation Berhad. Just a moment ago, we were talking about the company's property projects and why should anyone consider buying a home from them after the recent allegations of poor quality. Now, I want to talk about investment properties because you've got, interestingly, three schools, right? 10B, yeah. GEMS and St. Joseph's Institution. Mm. So this is like a foray into education. Mm. So how are the schools doing? What is the ultimate plan for this education segment?
Okay, we do own three schools, as in owning the buildings, right?
But you don't run them.
We don't run all the school. Only one of the school, the St. Joseph, we have a 50% share in the operation. The other two schools are actually they're actually our tenants.
Yeah, why did you decide to take a stake in St. Joseph's Institution? How much have you invested into it?
Felt that this is a very good brand. Okay, it's basically it helps us in leveraging on this brand, and it's a co-branding, number one. Number two is we think the St. Joseph brand has a great potential, as in you can see now actually they are already one of the top
school. What's the enrollment been like?
They're hardly 3 years. They have about 800 over students now. Relative to our understanding of the educational business, this is considered very well.
quite a good achievement.
Yeah.
And is, you know, how much have you invested into it then for that 50% stake? Is it even breaking even? That's the problem about schools, right? Because the initial capex is quite high. And because it's an international school, the standards, the teachers aren't exactly cheap.
There are two parts, right? We own the building, and there was about 200 over million investment in the building. So we created a state-of-the-art facility for this school. And on the operation, actually, for the operation, the paid-up capital is not that big. It's about 10 million, and we own half of it. Right? So, and the school is now breaking even on the EBITDA level.
Okay. And another investment property within the Tropicana Corporations is the W Hotel.
Okay.
Which is just within the vicinity of KLCC, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, how is that doing? Because, you know, Kuala Lumpur is famous for having the cheapest five-star room rates in Asia, right? So what is the revenue per room there, the RevPAR? What are you achieving?
Well, our RevPAR is holding around 600 to 700 ringgit, which is, I believe, is on the high side compared to the rest of the similar hotels in KL. In fact, this hotel draw a very different revenue composition. Actually, we draw about two-thirds of our revenue from F&B and one-third from the room.
But is the hotel profitable? Because
Oh, yes.
So it's not loss-making?
It's at the operational level, it's very profitable. Yeah.
Okay, the next thing I want to discuss is actually the Tropicana Gardens Mall. Because as most of us know, Tropicana sold their, what was Tropicana City Mall, which is now Tri Damansara. Yeah, so you're going back into the retail business?
No, not exactly. I mean, it is always our main focus to do residential and also some offices.
So this is a mixed development in a way,
this
right?
is a mixed development. And in the course of doing a mixed development, we will end up with some investment property.
Right. So how big is this retail mall going to be, Tropicana Gardens? Because I know you just said the residential has done really well. That's practically sold out. But the retail, how is that doing? Have you, what is the take-up rate and any key tenants secured?
It's quite big. The mall that we have is slightly over 1 million square feet.
Right? Oh, that's actually very large.
Very large, okay. At this moment, we have a take-up rate of about 700 over 1,000 square feet. Like with the, so we do not really have an anchor tenant, but we have a few mini anchor. So it's an anchorless mall so that we can draw better rate from smaller tenant.
But are you concerned because even like Seville, right, they estimate 78 million square feet of retail space by 2022. Mm. And even within a 10-minute drive from Tropicana Gardens Mall, there's Emporis down the road, the Curve, and of course the famous Wan Utama.
Mm-hmm.
And just opposite you is Sunway Giza. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to stay ahead of the competition and make sure that your mall doesn't turn into a ghost town, which is what we're seeing for some of the suburban malls in the PJ area?
That's a very good question. It will be challenging, but we are quite confident because a few reasons. First of all, the mall has a built-in MRT station, effectively right inside the mall. Right, so that will help to draw the traffic. Number two is from the five block that we have developed and sold, we have a captive market of 2,000 over apartments above there. Right, and then the third is our tenant mix is somewhat a bit unique. We have quite a bit of a different type of tenant, like some Japanese tenant.
Okay, and then I want to look at your growth plans for the Tropicana Group. You have 1,071 acres with a gross development value, and I get this from your annual report, of close to 5 billion, which is quite a lot on your plate. Mm. But recently you did another land acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about this?
You're referring to the asset injection?
Yes, which, by the way, is a related party transaction because the land has been acquired from your chairman, Tan Sri Denny Tan.
Yeah, that was one of the, that's probably the most major corporate exercise we did in not only 2019, it's one of the largest that we have done. The idea was to respond to the some of the investor comment in the past that we have a relatively sizable private development business versus the public listed company property development business. So the idea was to merge them to eliminate the concern of the investor, and we did that then.
It was at a fair price, would you say?
Yeah, yeah. So what happened was we bought about 12 companies and signed up for joint venture agreement with the major shareholders.
Was this acquisition done on an arm's length basis? Because the land value into your books was 1.85 billion ringgit, which is very sizable. And yeah. It's a total land of 425 hectares, right, in Klang Valley and Johor. So why proceed now when, you know, you said that the property market isn't exactly the most robust because it'll sit on your books? And how soon can you monetize it then?
Okay, the exercise was advised by Maybank Investment Bank. And just if you put it the other way around, we had an EGM and a lot of retail investor and came into the EGM and they voted for or against the this resolution. So the end result was we managed to secure close exactly 100% support from all the retail investor because they see that the direction that's well. Was probably right, as in we ought to consolidate the two businesses together, and also the value. We took a discount. I mean, the major shareholder took a discount and before he injected this asset to the company. And also, we actually did not pay with cash. 90% of the payment was by way of issuance of ICPS. So actually, with a very low interest rate. So effectively, we bought those land with a very, very low cash outlay and also low interest holding costs.
But there is some cash because there was 250 million paid to Tan Sri and also assumption of 270 million of Tan Sri's debt.
Yeah, the debt assumption and the cash is meant to be paid over about 2 years period. This is about 10% of the consideration.
Okay, finally, looking at your share price. Mm-hmm. And it's currently hovering around the 90 cents per share. And I looked at Bloomberg. It's only trading at a PE of about 8 times, mm-hmm. while the book value is 3 ringgit and 23 cents. So price to book of about 0.3 times. Mm-hmm. Looks very cheap on paper. So my question to you, Alex, is why not just take the company private since it looks undervalued?
Well, I mean, that trend is quite consistent with most of the...
It happened quite a fair bit in 2019, a fair bit of M&As.
Yeah, it's quite consistent in not just our counter, it's actually an industry problem. And we are not very worried about that as in, at the end of the day, the share price will be based on the fundamental, right? So our focus is mainly on making sure we drive up the bottom line and... We have actually had quite a different strategy for 2020.
So what is your strategy for 2020 then, to sum it up?
Now, we all agree that, and we have spoken just now, that the market remains soft and most of us would expect the market to continue to be soft for the foreseeable 2-3 years. So what we have done is that we divide our core launches into two parts. The first part is the anchor project, like I said, the 4 anchor project in Klang Valley. We continue to have that to basically
sustain earnings.
Sustain earning, etc. So the second part is we actually have a new development in Genting, a very exciting opportunity for us, right? And now the biggest sector that I think will grow well in Malaysia should be tourism. So we are actually diversifying our portfolio into more tourism sector and being the, for example, that the end use will be a tourist. So what we are doing is that we are preparing a large GDV, scalable, and we are actually targeting mostly foreign investor with small unit, like for example, those around one room, 500 square feet.
On that note, thank you for your time, Alex. I wish you all the best of luck for your property ventures. I am Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.